Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, love the lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Progress, only thing that'll last.
The Astros finally beat the Mariners this year. That been 6 wins for the Mariners in a row. The Astros went in extra innings last night, thanks to Zach Cole and their pitching staff. That came up big. Not Brian King so much. He struggled. He was put into the closer role and did not come through. He walked 3 guys as that inning was prolonged. By his walks, and eventually the Mariners pushed across the run to tie the game in the top of the ninth. But the other guys, including Lance McCullers, did their jobs, and the bats found a way to scrap and claw and push across the winning run in the ninth inning. The 10th inning, bottom of the 10th in extras. So we had Abreu out there. There was progress there. He only walked the one. The velocity was fine. It's better. It's a better outing than we've seen from him recently as he tries to work his way back. So good to see him out there get through an inning relatively clean. And then I mentioned Lance McCullers, a reflective Lance McCullers. He goes 5 1/3, and considering there are some questions about whether he would start maybe 3 or 4 days ago, it felt like once we saw him on the schedule as the projected starter, the Astros didn't display any concern about him actually making the start, but it was always up in the air when we talk about a guy who's a pitcher losing a part of his fingernail. You're wondering, would he go out there and compete? And he did. And he talked about it after the game because he reached a milestone. He reached 900 strikeouts as an Astro. And he has been reflective for a while now, considering the absences he's had and how his career has taken a turn. And he said, reaching 900 strikeouts makes him a little sad. He talks about what could have been. It makes him think about what could have been if injuries weren't such a part of his story. And he was talking about how Christian Vasquez wanted to get him a new ball. And he goes, no, I like that ball. I want that ball. That's a ball that struck out a guy. I want to keep that one. So he talks about being cool, and he hopes to make it to 1,000. I hope everyone loves hope. Don't give me hope, though. I'm glad he still is of the mindset that maybe this thing can continue. I don't know if it'll be with the Astros, but he still has a mind to continue to want to go out there and compete, and he reaches 900. He doesn't get the win, but his team wins. So good night all around for McCullers and the Astros as they get a contribution from one of their young outfielders who just a couple days ago had a chance to to help them in a game late and did not come through. He wasn't alone. It was Cole, Smith, and Matthews all didn't come through. Last night, Cole gets a little redemption as they beat the Mariners 4-3. So, cool. Now 10 games below 500, and they have another game with the Mariners as they try to salvage the series and get out of there with the series split, because while I was unaware of it, there was a level of importance put on the series as the Astros are trying to find a way. I read about it, I think, after the second game where how important the series was to try to get them back on track. If that is true and it's supposed to be a jumping off point, splitting the series after being down 0-2 in it would be nice. So it'll be, I'm think Castillo for the Mariners against Mike Burrows, who is rounding into shape. So let's see if he can provide or at least continue his recent run. He went 7 in his last outing. Quality start, didn't give up any earned runs in that shutout over the Reds. So let's see if he can keep going. He went 6 the outing before, 5 the outing before. So he is starting to pitch better. Let's see if that continues against the Mariners. I'm hoping that the Astros don't get to a point where people can hear their own conversations and hear other conversations in Daikin Park, because the fans, and you might say rightfully so, aren't showing up. It was another sparse crowd last night. We just don't want to get to a point where the guy down the right, the third baseline, can hear the guy down the first baseline in his conversation. We're not there yet. I think there's enough hum of crowd noise that we're not there yet. But there have been stadiums around this country where their baseball teams has been such a disappointment where that has occurred. And it would be foreign for this generation of Astro fan to have to experience it. But the Mariners in town have not gotten people out to the ballpark through the first three games. And I don't blame anyone right now.
Did you see it's some partnership post that they have, I think maybe with Prize Picks, maybe with DraftKings or something like that, where the Astros team account will put out like higher or lower on XYZ. And one of them was higher or lower, 5,000 Astros fans wearing jerseys.
Come on.
You got to know better than that.
Yeah, guys, understand.
You
got to be a little
self-aware.
Setting
yourself up to get dunked on.
You're asking for people to make fun of you. And it's tough. There, I believe people have noticed a changeover from a previous admin to a new one. People were questioning some of the posts.
I mean, that actually might be the beginning of the end.
So if you're the previous admin, all you were doing for the most part was hyping up a fan base, and rightfully so because of all the winning that's being done. If you have to step in, now you're like a wartime consigliere. Can you handle it when you have to put up posts and take on the comments of a disgruntled fan base, but still find a way to provide content and information and also try to be entertaining? Like Zach Cole's, if you want to call it, dribbler, that got through for the extra base, for the run that won them the game in extra innings. You have to highlight that.
It's a laser.
Yeah.
It's a right field.
Yeah. But when you.
On the score sheet, it's a laser.
Yeah, but I have the video. And the admin can't put up the score sheet and go, Astros win thanks to Zach Cole's
laser.
Rocket. You have to, they're showing the video, and it's like, oh, the infield's drawn in. Okay, cool. He squeezed it through, and Zach Cole was celebrating down the first baseline. It doesn't hit the same, I'll just say. It doesn't hit the same.
No, it definitely doesn't. It's a harder job now for the admin. You know, they don't.
It's a tough.
They don't have the team to back them up. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I think it was the 22 social media. I don't know if it was a new person or whatever. They're like feisty.
Yeah,
with the captions.
You could say whatever you want.
Like with the highlights, they'd be like mowing them down and whatever. Like just, whoa, okay.
They were to a point where they're upsetting other fan bases when we were celebrating wins. I think the Mariners in particular got upset with us. Or the Astros.
Because they had
account.
Like a sweep graphic. And they're like, hey.
Hey, that's not nice.
Yeah, which is like, all right.
Yeah.
Soft point.
The social media account for the Astros was feeling themselves, and rightfully so. The team provided enough content where you could just take your shots and know you're going to be backed up because you had Altuve and Tucker and the like, and along with Yordan coming through.
And then at one point it turned into like, you know, it went from being, you know, the knives are out for everyone else And like after that, it was like more, what a vibe at Minute Maid Park. You know, it'd be like, it kind of changed tone a little bit and it matched the, you know.
Yeah. Look,
the last great one was the World Series team. It's kind of tapered off since.
And you think about the fan base because of the cheating scandal. They were defending their team tooth and nail, and they were fighting against every other fan who has something to say. And the social media account adopted that personality differently. They weren't acknowledging the cheating, but they would go out of their way at times to be a little combative.
Yeah.
Now that has had to be tamped down because there's not a lot to be combative about.
It's tampered like year by year too.
Yeah.
It's also
as the product continues to.
Yeah.
But
people did not like the 23 admin, and I was like, is it just because this team's not winning the World Series?
Started from the jump.
Yeah. No. Wasn't there one that got fired like I feel like they changed one mid season, or at least changed the marching orders that they got of like, hey, cut this Taylor Swift stuff out.
Yeah.
Because they started like captioning like it was a Taylor Swift stan account.
Yeah, it wasn't what the people were looking for as their team wasn't playing the way they wanted them to play.
But now the Astros are playing the way that we want them to.
Well.
Gutting out.
Yesterday they did. Yeah. Last night they did.
Yeah.
Beating the hated Mariners.
Yeah. So, I mean, a nice win again. Pitching staff, huh? Who needs a fingernail?
I mean,
was the fingernail in the way the entire time?
I would think Lance McCullers believes that fingernail is pretty important. So hopefully, thoughts, T's and P's to the fingernail. Hopefully it comes back and he can
just
pitch.
Don't get in my guy's
just
way.
Just don't get in the way.
He's got 100 more strikeouts.
Like Cal Raleigh took a shower in his own uniform to fix his hitting slump, and it is working apparently.
Did he pull something while he was doing?
Well, he had a home run last. No, that wasn't. That was Raleigh though, not Raleigh. Raleigh who had a home run, but he had his two singles. So if the fingernail's in the way, maybe Lance McCullers has to pull that fingernail every time he goes out there. I don't know. He tortures himself by yanking the fingernail out of his pointer finger to go out there and pitch well.
It's a little different than whatever Bill Russell throwing up before every game.
Yeah.
Every time that fingernail
starts to grow,
just
removes it.
I don't know.
I don't know if he has to do it with his own mouth, but you can get the trainer to do it.
Trainer comes in with pliers, puts a bag over his
head.
I'm
not even saying he needs to be actually tortured. Shoot that finger up.
Give him a whiskey.
Yeah, something, whatever it takes, so he doesn't feel the pain that getting your fingernail pulled would inflict, and then go out there and pitch like he did last night and get himself a win. He wants to get to 1,000 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Perhaps removing that fingernail every fourth start helps because it won't grow back immediately.
No, you got some time. So, yeah, maybe like once a month.
Yeah,
you just got to
suffer through.
Pop it off.
And baseball players are superstitious, so you never know. We're talking about social media and the account, how it handles things. You know, Dana Brown should take issue with the 790 account because we talked about the quote of "I'm not worried about it" in reference to Imai. That's the pull quote that got the people going. Well, it is part of a larger quote where he's much more contextual about things. But when you hear or see "I'm not worried about it," it's going to upset some people. So, Bomani Jones did something about this. Ironically, it was a pulled clip from a larger conversation from his own social media team. But he talked about how he doesn't like social media managers. Because he's built a career on having context and talking about things in a way that goes beyond just a quote or two. And then once you appear on someone's podcast, they'll pull 20 seconds of something you said that could have been 3 minutes long, and then people take what they want from it. That's what happened to Dana Brown. I'm not worried.
They just
one
took
bit.
The most inflammatory.
Yeah, I'm not worried one bit. Look, you might not have liked what he said, period, because it's Dana Brown and the team stinks. But when you hear "I'm not worried one bit," you're like, oh, F off. What are we talking about here? Yeah. And that's kind of the reaction we had. Like, what do you mean? The full quote from that, and maybe you're not going to like it either way. I think we have to give these players time to make adjustments at the major league level because you're talking about the best baseball in the world, and they will make adjustments. The good ones adjust. He's a good one, so he will adjust. I'm not worried one bit. So you may not like any of that because you don't believe he's a good one. You think he should have been ready to go. How come he's not like other players who have come over and have got off to a good start? But there's more than he wasn't flippant talking about. I'm not worried about
it. It bumps it up from like a 2 out of 10 to like a 5 or 6.
Yeah,
out of 10.
Yeah, you may think he's wrong either way.
Yeah, but it's not offensive.
That's typical baseball stuff.
Yeah,
but I'm not worried one bit. Makes it sound like you guys are idiots. Shut up.
who cares?
He's fine, and who cares? I'm out of here anyway. So, Dana Brown, like he makes an appearance on 790. That's part of the obligations. I would be like, hey guys, what are you doing? Why are you making me sound like an a-hole? So there's more to that. And the Chronicle wrote about the entirety of his time there on the right shoulder, talking about Emaya, amongst other things. He is confident that this team will figure it out. But as we know, since we chronicled his statements over the last couple of years,
he's always been
pretty confident in this team. And that confidence really hasn't been rewarded very much. But hey, he took over when? In 2023?
Yeah.
Okay.
January of 2023.
January 2023.
Bagwell and Drayden McCrane got to do some damage that offseason, and then after things were wrapped up.
Yes, people, he did say Drayden McCrane. It's a thing where he's doing here.
Yeah.
He didn't make a mistake. I just need to allow people
James
to know.
James Click, I think he became Drayden McCrane.
This is Sean's thing. So every time you hear it going forward, he is not messing up. He's doing it on purpose.
No, it's Jim Crane putting on the Drayden McCrane
mask. Like the Mission Impossible
Batman.
Mask.
Like he turned into Batman.
Or that too.
He went from Bruce Wayne to Batman. Because James Click didn't trade for Wilson Contreras at the trade deadline or something.
So he had to go, huh?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they won the World Series.
Made
and
it
he
his
had the
mission.
Best, he had the best bullpen in all of maybe nearly baseball history for a time, and he had to go.
Oh, no, it was Starling Marte.
Yeah, it was someone he wanted, and he didn't get because Click was like, maybe I will hold off on that. And look what happened.
Boom.
World
Flags
Series.
Fly forever.
Now,
you just won't be at the parade, yeah, bozo. Get out of here.
It is tough. Like, we're going to talk about something a little bit later, considering what's happening in the Cleveland-Detroit series about the refereeing and people and whether they remember when the bad refereeing goes their way. People rarely do. It is that maybe as rare that the GM of a World Series winner gets shown the door immediately afterwards because of a move he may or may not have made at the behest of the owner.
Yeah, if they change jobs because they retired.
That's one thing.
They went out on top.
Yeah, but to be kicked out the door because of differences in opinion on things. And
as
your opinion led to a World Series win, it's rare that happened and may be just simply the beginning of the end of that era of Astros baseball, the decision to get rid of James Click. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will, as I mentioned, the NBA playoffs, we'll talk about that. The NBA players decided to rank referees. They put them in tiers, so we'll see where the great Tony Brothers lands because he was at the center of another playoff controversy as the Pistons blow a lead down the stretch and now have to go to Cleveland to try to save their season. We got a couple of Aggie running backs in the news for much different reasons. I'm going to ask you a question, Sean. Maybe you contemplate it now. Did an Aggie running back get away with one of the great heists in history? If you don't know that story, we'll tell you about it. There's some questions about how a team responds when a guy retires right after they give him some money, so we'll talk about that. We're just getting started here. You can join us at 713-780-3776. And as bad as it is for the Astros, it's not as bad as it is for one team. We'll talk about that when we come back. And the hope is, as I mentioned, that the Astros never are at a point where people can hear opposite baseline conversations. Or down, as I said, down the third baseline, you can hear the first baseline conversations. Well, I know this has probably happened to a White Sox fan several times over the last 3 or 4 years, but they've reached a milestone, and we'll talk about that when we get back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So it's tough here in Houston with the baseball team. And a lot of it has to do with what we've experienced over the last decade. It's tough to know your team is bad, injured, and not playing up to your expectations. But at least we're not White Sox fans. They've dealt with a bad baseball team with no real expectations for years now. But the White Sox hit a milestone yesterday. They won their fourth in a row, and now they're 21-21. It is the first time in over 1,000 days that they have been 500 or better after with three or more wins, or more than three wins. So what, they haven't been 500 or better this deep into a season since October 5th, 2022.
They haven't been better than 3-3.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. There have been times where they're 3-3 or 2-2 over the last 3 years or, yeah, or 4 years or so, but they have not been better or at 500 or better this deep into a season since October 5th, 2022. So yes, it's bad here. It's has been worse there.
Because October 2022, that was before the, like, a month before the Astros won the World Series.
So like very end that. of the 2022 season.
Think of the lifetime the Astros have lived in that time.
All the things that have happened since, and White Sox, meanwhile.
A lot probably has happened for them too. Just it ends in losing.
Always. Until last night.
Yeah.
500.
Now they're even.
The White Sox ahead of the Astros in the playoff chase.
Yeah. And actually
would be making the playoffs.
Or 5 years.
If the season mercifully ended today for the Astros, the White Sox would be in the playoffs. Because the AL is not good. No. And being 500 is enough to make a wild card. They're the second best wild card team behind the Yankees right now.
I think that the fact that the AL is so bad has gone from earlier in this season, like, giving you hope of, like, hey, the Astros just need a 5-game win streak and, you know, they'll be the third wild card by the end of the week, you know? Now it's like, the AL is this bad and the Astros are still 10 games under 500.
The tone has changed.
It's kind of flipped where it's like, gosh, all they play are bad. I know not all they play, but the majority of your games are still against all these trash-ass teams, and you're the trashiest of them all. But
if you look at what they've done over the last month plus, you start to break down the series by how they fared. If they're not playing one of the other real dregs in the league, they're not winning the series. Like, they did have the Guardians series that they won, so that was the outlier. The Guardians currently lead the Central after winning three in a row. But other than that, it's that Red Sox series, right, in Boston, yeah, that they won. You start to look at the schedule. If any team has a pulse, the Astros are losing the series, and that's what it was like the first two games of this series. The Mariners aren't great, but you lost to them certainly in convincing fashion in game two. And now you have a chance, thanks to Zach Cole and your pitching staff, last night, you have a chance to even the series. But for the most part, if the team is somewhat competitive, the Astros are losing the series. So we will see if they can even it up with Burrows on the mound this afternoon. It is a day game. They've got the Rangers coming in tomorrow. And I did see some Rangers account with a whole bunch of produced hats that, when you first glance, look like a regular old Astros hat. But because they're the Rangers, instead of the Astros normal logo, it's an H inside of an asterisk. And then on the back, it says asterisks as opposed to Astros. So they're handing out. It'll be, if you look at a distance, it just looks like an Astros hat. But if you get close enough to a Ranger fan, I would advise against it.
Yeah.
But if you get close enough, you'll be able to tell that they're in mid-troll as this series is about to happen. I don't know that either team's good enough for all that. I get it. AOS, you got in-state, but at this point, you're both non-factors to each other, really.
Yeah.
I don't know that it deserves all that you're producing hats to tell people, mm-hmm, oh, yeah, remember when this team got caught cheating? It's almost a decade ago now that the biggest portions of the cheating occurred. You've got your World Series. You beat them in the series that led to a World Series win. Maybe enough. maybe enough Rangers fan. I don't know if those hats are going to be given away or sold, but much
they're not. It's cease and desist, buddy.
Well, it's not an Astros logo. It's the H inside of an asterisk.
Do they own that H?
Probably not. Maybe there's slight differences that it doesn't look like. It looks like an Astros H.
Yeah.
But maybe there's slight enough differences that they get away with it. I would just say, much like the person investigating whether Alperen Şengün is still dating his girlfriend when you're getting into his Instagram account.
That's crazy.
Perhaps that's not on that level of, hey, cut the nonsense. But it's close enough where I'm like, all right.
I don't see much difference between them.
Enough.
What the two of you were doing. Yeah, the Astros-Rangers rivalry, you know. I don't know what exactly the – it's like when a college football rivalry – where both sides of a once-great college football rivalry are having down seasons.
Yeah.
It's like
– the state of Florida has experienced that over the last 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's like pick a year before Florida fires their coach and any time other than like a handful of years
like
for
Norvell
Florida
State. Versus Napier the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's just like, man, this really used to mean something. This game used to be played under the lights. Now it's 11 a.m. and no one's here.
Yeah, Kirk Herbstreit used to show up for this game. Now he wouldn't. He would never.
No, this used to dictate who would win. We go to the Sugar Bowl or something. Now
not a thing.
Whatever.
You're hoping for bowl eligibility if you win the game. So that's where the Rangers and the Astros currently are.
Yeah.
We're looking for the equivalent of bowl eligibility in baseball, which would be, I guess, getting to 500. The Rangers are much closer to that. Yeah.
Rangers could do it. Yeah. Rangers actually have bowl. That's what the Astros need to fight for this series or, you know, after today. We don't want to look past the Mariners, but
of course
also.
Not.
Yeah, to keep them at 5-7 or send them to 5-7. Don't let them get that sixth win against you and go to, you know, the Poinsettia Bowl. You gotta lay down the law.
Have some pride. Have some standards. Let's take the Rangers seriously, and I mean baseball seriously. Not hey, we're going to create our own version of a hat to troll the Rangers. They're not worth it. Just go out there and go out there and try to win a series. Try to split this series and change the complexion of your home stand, and then try to take two out of three from the Rangers.
Get a win today. 2 out of 3 against the Rangers. You're rolling.
Yeah, rolling's strong.
You're one game over 500 after a week of baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. That's strong, but you know, it could be much worse.
It could be so much worse. That's what Dana Brown should be saying in interviews. Like, you know, it could be so much worse.
Not that's hard to imagine over the entirety of the season, but yes, splitting the Mariners series after barely getting by with an extra inning victory last night, it could be worse. You could be on the verge of getting swept. So you take this one with Burrows, who has pitched better, and then you attack the Rangers series, and maybe Dana Brown's confidence is warranted because you are getting guys back. Pena's somehow survived being in Corpus Christi. We didn't talk about that yesterday.
Run him over with the car.
I hope. Yeah, it's like Final Destination for Pena. At some point, Corpus is going to get him if he doesn't get out of there.
Yeah, he got out of Mortal Kombat.
If you don't know what happened, he was banged up a couple times. He got hit by a pitch in his final plate appearance in his rehab assignment, and they eventually said, "Okay, enough is enough." There was another incident where he took a fall and
he was playing the field and. It was not even like a play at a bag. It was just like he was just getting the ball in. And as he was getting the ball in, he gets like tabletopped basically by one of these double-A runners. And yeah, he just lands on his like shoulder neck area. And he got up.
Thankfully.
Everything's fine. But it was just like, God, like taking that hit for nothing?
For nothing.
I mean, for the hooks. So not nothing. But.
Yeah, it is for our affiliate, but we're not looking for that in a rehab assignment.
Yeah, like normally getting hit by a pitch is like the worst thing that could happen to a guy when you go, you know, makes you hold your breath for a second. The video of Pena at second base is like, he basically got jacked up. Like it was quite the hit that he took.
Now he has a sore neck. So he did not avoid something.
No.
He avoided a major injury, but he did get banged up, and he didn't play in the last game because of a sore neck.
I was going to say, it affected his rehab.
So I guess he's down there longer because of it as he tries to get more.
Maybe like an extra day.
If he tries to get more at-bats in before he comes back. So that was unfortunate, but thankfully no broken bones. Yeah. Although it is a sore neck with the Astros. Who knows what it actually means if we go by recent history?
Collapsed vertebrae.
Yeah, who knows? But so far, all we know is he's a little banged up and sore as he tries to make his way back. Hader, another guy who's on his way back. So you are getting some of your top-level talent back. It is a question of where the team will be when they eventually get back. And if Pena can survive Final Destination 8 Corpus Christi down there. I mean, what are we doing? Jeez. You can't put something in place where he doesn't get hurt. He's just got to go out there and play. But that was tough to see him back out
there. Can he play in, like, I don't know, like those
simulated games?
Or in a real game, but with like the pads that like karate instructors have when they're like sparring?
Or something. You mean the spring game version
like
of it?
The where helmet. They,
where everybody has the guardian hat.
Guardian
on.
Cap. And then, but like, in karate, I've seen like they have like the shin pads and the thigh pads and like just pad up.
Like you said, the instructor who is taking hits or punches from their student, but he has that throughout.
Yeah,
just playing the field.
He can play, but I want him protected from these thugs that play AA baseball.
Thugs. I don't know who you are, sir, who nearly broke our guy's neck, but you're a thug.
I don't even know who you play for, all right?
Honestly, that's not important. We barely know.
It was a video off of someone's camera.
Yeah.
It was like a videoception of what I saw. It was not great. It looked like something that would be on a blacklisted website. It was
Faces of Death?
It was a snuff film.
And Pena narrowly.
I think now I'm overselling the violence.
Yeah, it wasn't as awful as you're saying, but it was concerning. It was concerning, and thankfully he avoided, at least right now, serious injury. But he will be down for a little bit with that sore neck, so hopefully Pena can get back into his rehab stint and then back with the Astros at some point here soon. All right, we'll go to break. It was a near disaster that was avoided. We'll leave it at that. We'll go to break. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. I want to remind people we're going to be out at East River 9. I believe it's in conjunction with celebrating the PGA Championship, which is going on right now. Somehow, some way, I think the morning show avoided any real updates on that. So that's a clear indication that John was a little checked out because he's got golf to play tomorrow. And probably today, the way he was dressed. Tee time today, golf tomorrow. So we didn't really get an update on the first round of the PGA Championship, but we're going to be out at East River 9 for that. You should join us. I would say starting at like 10, because that's when everything really opens if you want to eat. But if you just want to get around, and you can get there earlier than that. So we're going to enjoy our time out there. The entire lineup will be out there. As you heard, John won't be out there, but Raheel will be filling in for him on the morning show. So we'll do all that tomorrow. We'll also be joined by Michael Carroll tomorrow at 11:30. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll get into what happened last night in the NBA because the Pistons really, as Rafael Stone would say, tricked one off. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we are, hours away from the full release of the NFL schedule. Texans, leaks, they're playing the Steelers. Week 13, Sunday Night Football, I believe. And the latest thing to come out is they've got a game against, is it the Eagles? Yes, the Eagles, Thursday Night Football, Week 16. So at the moment, if you include the Wembley game in Week 6 against the Jags, the Steelers and the Eagles, the Texans have three, what you would call road games, primetime or national television, put it that way. The Wembley game will be early in the morning, but the other two will be at night, and they'll both be on the road. That is according to the leaks out there. So a couple trips to Pennsylvania at night, one of them being a Thursday game against an Eagles team that may be on the brink of disaster. Who knows? Considering the Eagles probably 13-2 or whatever the record would be at the time.
Yeah.
Just because that's how the Eagles operate.
But it might be 13-2 and they're on the brink of disaster.
And and Sirianni's one misstep away from getting fired.
Yeah. Yes. Like, who knows? I can't believe Texans Steelers gets a Sunday night.
It's tough.
A late Sunday night game, too. A late season one.
I mean, the Steelers have added Michael Pittman. They've got, they still, of course, DK Metcalf. And then they might have drafted a receiver, too. So they have added to their weaponry, but it's still Aaron Rodgers, we assume, at some point, being the quarterback of that team.
And someone's going to be dinking and dunking.
And McCarthy is the head coach. Yeah. It's not very appealing, but they're the Steelers.
Yeah.
They still get eyes on them. They made the playoffs last year. They played the Texans in a playoff game. It all comes together.
I get that this is a playoff rematch in week 13. Does anyone, like, nationally?
No one's craving a Steelers-Texans.
I think most people watch that Monday night playoff game are like, yuck. Glad that's over.
Probably.
Like, I can't imagine that this is like some.
And it was not a very appealing game for the first three quarters, and then the Steelers imploded on themselves.
Yeah.
And that gave the Texans a runaway win.
It was the worst of all worlds. It was not entertaining, but it was close. And then it was not close. It was just like, oh, okay, cool.
Multiple.
Check.
We had a fumble return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Did we have another pick six or something as well? I know it turned into
not a pick six, like a pick down to the 1 yard line.
Yeah, it turned into a real blowout. Yeah. As neither offense really could get going early. And the Texans had like a long run based drive to really take the soul from the Steelers. But either way, that game is a little bit later in the year on Sunday Night Football, and the rest of the schedule will be out. I know a lot of attention is paid to it. The NFL does their very best to make it a week long thing. I'm not going to remember who the Texans played week one in like 4 weeks. If it even takes that long, if anyone asks me, let me go online, because I'm not going to remember. Despite all the things surrounding this, I'm not going to remember who they're playing. Yeah. I mean, we're waiting for the Chargers video, right? That's the one big thing. Or yeah. Did we talk about this? You may be done with the Chargers and their schedule release videos.
I'm done with all of them.
Well, yeah,
the Chargers aren't any special. Like they're all
lame. To everyone else. I'm not going to be looking forward to it, but people like the Chargers because of what they deem creative license they take with things.
Yeah, I appreciate the hard work, but like, also I'm not sitting through a 3-minute video that's 17 games. I just like, give me the magnet that I can put on my fridge with the schedule. That's all I really need.
That would be beneficial for me to at least remember. We'll see. The Texans week one hasn't been confirmed, then when that's out, fine. We'll talk about it tomorrow, and that'll be about it.
Yeah, we can. This is the ultimate. Like, I can wait. It's not.
Yeah, we've got months.
Like you mentioned, like the Jags Texans game in London. Like, if you put a baseball bat to my kneecap, mm-hmm. if you put that AA baseball player that tried to
murder Jeremy Pena,
yeah, if you put him coming down the second baseline, and you're like, what week? Do the Texans go to London to play the Jags? I'd be like, I'm going to flip over and land on my head like Jeremy Payne did. I have no idea.
I know it's week six because I just looked at it.
But I would not know offhand. And I completely
I did
forgot.
Say it. Doesn't matter. Just doesn't really matter.
Just win in one ear, out the other.
You just know that it's in a special location. That's kind of really all that matters. It'll probably just sneak up on me during the season. Oh, yeah, they're going to
win. Yeah, it'll be big like that Wednesday and Thursday where it's like D'Amico Ryan's asked about the preparation that they're, you know, when are they leaving to go to London? That's always a big one where it's like, did they go early to acclimate or did Rams, they went like the night before, basically.
Yeah, it's just a business trip.
And they smoked the Jags because guess what? They're just way better than Jags.
Yeah, that Thursday night game against the Eagles is Christmas Eve, so mark it in your calendars if you want to travel to Philly to watch the Texans play. Remember, it is Christmas Eve.
Gonna pass on that. B, I still have some Christmas time PTSD from what the Texans
Netflix.
What the Ravens did to the Texans.
Yeah, it wasn't a good time for anyone involved except the Ravens. Well, we did get Beyonce in concert.
Yeah,
the McNairs in one of the cars.
Yeah, maybe. We'll get a concert.
Who would be the Philly representative? I don't even know who's a famous Philly artist.
Meek Mill.
Oh, yeah. That
is their Beyonce.
That is the one.
Will Smith?
Unlikely. His song, Meek Mills, not Will's. Meek Mills' Dreams and Nightmares was the song they ran out to for the Patriots Super Bowl.
You can just do that for 8 minutes and call it a performance.
Encore of Dreams and Nightmares.
Just let different people walk up and do it. Just Dreams and Nightmares karaoke.
Yeah. And have Eagles from that 2017 team be there. Nick Foles, Brandon Graham, all those guys.
Yeah, the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they can get up there.
I just want Danny DeVito up there doing it. I don't want Mac and all the other guys. Just give me Danny pulling a duet with Meek Mill.
Yeah. I don't there's got to be one that we're forgetting.
I'm sure there are more.
In Jersey, like South Jersey will claim.
Well, that's Bon Jovi,
Philly.
Right? Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
I think he's been attached to the Eagles because of the jersey thing.
He owned the Philly Arena Soul. League team.
Yeah, he did. So we'll have the final schedule tomorrow. We may talk about it tomorrow. Did want to get to this before we go to break. So we had game 5 of the Detroit Cavs series. Goes the Cavs way. Great comeback by them late. Detroit imploded, not in small part to Kate Cunningham's turnover issues. He has had his issues. We talked about James Harden and his, at one point, like 43 turnovers through the first seven games of his playoff run. Well, Kate Cunningham, through his first 18 playoff games, just period, in the court, if you go back to last year and this year, he's got 14 more turnovers than the next person, which is Luka. He's turned the ball over 101 times in 18 playoff games. He had another rough one last night. Look, they're a team with very few options, particularly if you can't dump it down or you don't trust dumping it down to Jalen Duren. Hell, it would help if he's on the court in the fourth quarter to try to do that. He was benched for B-ball Paul. Paul Reed was out there for the entirety of the fourth quarter and overtime. I think Duren got in for a potential defensive rebound as the Cavs were trying to put the game away late, shooting free throws. And they didn't do a great job of that. James Harden missed a couple of free throws he missed one. Got the rebound, had another chance to knock down two, missed the second one. He did that both times.
Yeah.
And then he memed shooting himself in the head like 4 or 5 times. I was wondering how long the camera would keep on him because after he missed the free throw, it was 115-111, and then the Pistons had a couple of chances to knock down threes and didn't. And then once the Cavs got the rebound and you could tell the game was over, they had to go down and shoot free throws, and Harden wasn't the one shooting them. He kept going four or five times, and the camera was like, yeah, we know we probably shouldn't tell that, but he is the man of the moment, so we're gonna linger on him as he meme shooting himself in the head.
Cut to Kenny Atkinson right now.
Yeah, we're gonna stay with James. So they win, and now they go home trying to take that series and make the Eastern Conference Finals. We've talked about it, the fact that there are playoff risers and playoff fallers. While Harden has had his moments and even had the whole James Harden experience in Game 5 from the 30 points, but he didn't do it on great efficiency. He knocked down his free throws until late. He turned the ball over a couple of times in characteristic late-game Harden fashion to keep Detroit in it in that overtime. We had it all.
Yeah,
we had it all from James, but he does not rise to the level of what Jalen Duren is on right now. As I mentioned, got benched for Paul Reed in the fourth quarter. He can be a restricted free agent. He's going to get his money. He's 22 years old.
He's still young.
He's all of the things that mean Detroit's going to sign him, because who does Detroit get in free agency of any real consequence?
Yeah.
They're going to keep him. It just gives you pause, man. It's really only his third playoff series overall. As I said, he's only 22, so you expect some growth there.
A lot of room.
There's a lot of room for improvement in the playoffs.
He's pulled into 9-5 last night.
Yeah, he's coming off an All-NBA, maybe second or third team type season, made his first All-Star game. But it's a tough look. It's tough. He won't even be 23 until a month into next season. He turns 23 next November. So there's a lot of, as you say, room to grow. It's going to be tough to negotiate, I mean.
It is just like perfectly positioned to where it's like you do have to sign him.
You're not even
you can't let him walk.
He has played so bad, and maybe you blame Bickerstaff for this, so bad that Paul Reed a Sixers castoff is taking his minutes in the fourth quarter of a pivotal game five. They would rather have Paul Reed, a guy who didn't play in the first three quarters. That's how bad it's been. You are so bad.
We're just trying something.
That Paul Reed, who I would rather not play, really, is a – and Paul Reed played fine. He had his moments, offensive rebounds. He did a good job. I watched in the game. But it's not someone I want to go to. You're the guy, and I can't play you. And while he is a guy who was pretty productive in the regular season as far as dumping the ball down to him and posting up and stuff, he's been okay, but they've only done it like seven times in this series, so he hasn't had a lot of opportunities. He just can't be trusted. And when you talk about a Pistons team who didn't have one of their triggers in Duncan Robinson, you can just run a set for him to get an open three. Like, they don't have a lot of guys who create for themselves. It's all on K. That's why he turns the ball over so much. And when you don't have the chance for relief threes where Duncan Robinson is open, whether you're running a play for him or you're swinging the ball because K draws so much attention and you get an open three, you don't even have that as a spacer. You would think Doran would be a guy you could lean on, except his coach is like, nope. Biggest game of our season. Biggest game in Detroit basketball history in the last, what would you say?
Since like 2009, 2008.
They lost a game six at home in the first round last year, but this one, you have real expectations of making a final, You're at home.
Second round.
Game is in the balance, and you can't play him, and now he's going to ask for $40-plus million a season.
And you kind of have to do it. You can
pull a Rafael Stone and negotiate. I'm not sure Trajan Langdon has that in him. I'm not sure he's looking to do that, but he might want to. He might consider.
Can I get 36, not 40? Can we do that? Please, Jim.
These are the things a general manager has to figure out.
Yeah.
And do you think this is a blip because the Cavs have you were like, whatever, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. We talked about it because it was Carter, Wendell Carter, and then Jared Allen and Mobley giving them problems. You're like, wait a minute, that can't be a thing.
Those are all solid players. But
it can't be a thing for Jalen Duren to not even be playable in the fourth quarter of a game.
And it's Jalen or Wendell Carter in the first round. You want to go, stout body, tough to – it's a physical strength match with them.
You are bigger and stronger than Evan Mobley.
And Jared Allen.
Allen might be taller, but you're bigger and stronger.
Yeah, you have to be able to press an advantage against those two distinct archetypes that you've faced so far. And not only have you, been bad, not only you haven't been able to do that, you're deemed unplayable, and, I don't disagree. That it's just
I'm not faulting Bickerstaff. It's just a problem that everyone is like, you know what? Paul Reed should be out there instead of Doran.
His playoff high for points is 15. And the next one is 12, and then it's all single. He just hasn't been able to do anything. It's crazy.
Paul Reed scored 10 in the 17 minutes he played overtime in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we're talking about
10 and 8. Paul Reed went for 10 and 8 in the fourth quarter in overtime with four offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
And Doran would pray to reach those numbers at this point.
He had 9-5 in 27 minutes.
Minus 16. So
in a game that went to overtime.
Minus 16. Once again, this is not about criticizing Bickerstaff's choice. He had to make a choice.
Yeah.
It's just that Doran has put him in a spot where it's not even a real choice. I can't play you.
It's nuts.
And then he's going to negotiate for lots and lots of money. We'll see how that goes for him. All right, we will go to break with that. We'll come back with more on that because it leads into a discussion about the NBA Players Association rating the refs. And Tony Brothers was involved in another controversy. And I bring it up because this one went squarely against Detroit. Assert Thompson had a chance for a rebound. He gets the ball. Jared Allen clicks his feet, should be a foul, should be Assar Thompson going to the line for potential game-winning free throws at the end of regulation. It was a no-call. It was a terrible no-call. And will Cavs fans, the next time a call goes against them, will they even remember that this call went in their favor? I have some in mind over the course of my sports-watching life where clearly the referees were wrong and it helped my team. But I have to really dig at them. I got all the ones that where I felt I was screwed by the refs right at front of mind. And I'll ask you guys, 713-780-3776, if you can remember a time where a ref's call went in your favor. and see if Sean has some as well. We'll do that. We'll find out how the NBA players rank the referees when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.